morning. Welcome home. Whew. Oh my goodness, it is so good to be here, and I'm so excited for all of you joining us online and on the podcast. Welcome home. Say hello to everyone around you. Hello. Behind you. Hello. Well, we only have a very few announcements this morning, so let's get into it. Church offices are still closed through the month of July. Those should be maybe opening up again in August, at least for the staff. Let's see, we are having our weekly Zoom prayer meeting tomorrow night at 7. Join us. It's been so good linking hearts with our brothers and sisters. There will be a link sent out for that in your email, so look for it. Teens, there is no youth group this week. It is canceled, but we'll start again next week. So again, look for an email for that. All right, told you it was really small this week. But now for the best part, Miss Anita for our kids.
You see my friend? I'm so used to being in the back with the kids and having props there to work with the kids. So I thought I would bring one this morning. So he's doing good, or she is, but I forgot a mask for her, so she won't breathe on anybody. Have you ever wondered why flamingos are pink? Why aren't they blue or yellow or green? They have pink feathers because the foods they eat have special dyes in them. Remember the dyes you used to make Easter eggs? God created dyes that are a little bit different on the inside of the flamingos. They eat lots of seaweed. Does that sound good? Shrimp. How about insects? Would you like insects for lunch? When flamingos eat the seaweed, the shrimp, and the insects, the dyes change their color from the inside out. Did you know that we have something to change our color from the inside out to change us? It won't make us pink. It won't make us blue or green or purple. But it does change how we look and how we act. When you ask Jesus into your heart, you are changed from the inside out. God forgives you of your sins. That means he gets rid of all of the bad stuff. You become a brand new person on the inside. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." You become a brand new person on the inside, but it may take a while for it to show up on the outside. God begins working on your heart. God teaches you, he guides you, and little by little, the changes come into effect. The more you learn about God's love and his forgiveness, the more you become like him. And pretty soon, you start changing on the outside. You will start to act differently. Things that were important to you before, like having to win or get even or wanting to be better than everybody else, doesn't matter anymore. People will notice that you are different too. Instead of always having to be first, you will be happy to let someone else go first. Instead of feeling like you have to be better than everyone else, you will be happy for your friend when he does better. And instead of feeling grumpy when you are asked to help, you will be happy to help others. Jesus changes you from the inside out. And back to 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, "And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more." God is working inside you, guiding you and teaching you and changing you little by little to be more like Jesus. When you think about a flamingo and how the dyes change his coloring from the inside out, remember that God is changing you from the inside out. And always remember, God loves you, and you are slowly becoming more and more like Jesus.
Thank you, Miss Anita. Can we give her another hand this morning? Amen. Thank you so very much. Amen. Let's all stand this morning. Who's ready to give back to God? I got a few amens. Who's ready to give back to the Lord? Amen. Amen. I got a scripture here this morning before we receive the offering. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 8. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Here, wanting to hear your word, wanting to worship you, because you are the King of Kings, you are the Lord of Lords, and we thank you for the salvation. We thank you for the cross and for your resurrection. And Lord, this morning is our turn now to give back to you, to give you what is yours. Lord, you give us 7 days a week, and we give you today, God. That's the least we can do. You give us food and water and clothing, God. And today we give everything, God, that you ask of us back to you. And I just pray that you would bless the gift, bless the giver, all those who are listening to the podcast or maybe watching online this morning, that you would just stir our hearts to dig a little deeper and to obey your word. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's worship this morning. Let's sing praises to God. Obviously, we don't have the plates going around, but we do have the online giving, and we have our box in the back if you'd like to drop something, or you could mail something to the church. So who's ready to give God praise this morning? Amen. Let's worship him. Let's glorify his name. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have. love that's never failing.
is faithful.
Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever.
Bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today again, Lord. And we just ask that you would be in our midst. Speak to us, challenge us, encourage us this morning, Lord. As we read your word and as we hear what you have to say in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Can we give the worship team a hand? Amen. Hallelujah. So I just want to say welcome to Home Church of the Nazarene. All those, hopefully, I hope I'm not speaking out of context here, Luke, but we should be having some people watching us from home right now. So if we all turn around and say hi. We got some loved ones. We just want to say hello. Welcome to the Home Church live stream test. And also all those who are in the overflow room right now, let's turn around again and give them a big hello. Amen. It's so amazing to see some people here in the house of God. And know there's brothers and sisters who are in our overflow room and at home right now watching this morning. Amen. I also want to give I'm not sure if he's here this morning. I want to give a shout out to Isaiah. Yesterday I was driving by the church and I saw this young man and his brother picking up a bunch of trash. Can we give him a hand? You normally don't see that these days, seeing a teenager picking up trash, especially at a church, when they could be playing video games, is something you don't see normally. So I said, man, we got to give him a shout out. So thank you so very much for doing that, Isaiah. We appreciate you. Last week, we talked about grace of chances. Who remembers grace of chances? We spoke of grace of chances, and we met with three people who came and took the stand and gave their testimony on how they messed up. But God gave them what? Mercy. Another chance. Amen? Who here can testify that God has given us another chance? Amen and amen. But their story would have ended so differently if they wouldn't have obeyed God. Their story would have ended so differently if they wouldn't have obeyed when God met them wherever they were at. And so this morning, I want to talk about obedience. Obedience is it's almost like a cuss word. When you say obedience, it's almost like a swear word these days, you know? So bear with me. I'm not cussing. Obedience. Somebody say obedience. I've titled this sermon, I Will Obey. Can you say, I will obey? I will obey. 1 Samuel 15, we're going to be starting in verse 1, and we'll be going down to verse 23. I promise I'll have you out of here before 3. We'll be starting in verse 1, we'll be going to 23. Hallelujah, amen. If you are there, please say amen. Amen. All right. So for those who may be new to Scripture, who are tuning in with us, maybe you're new this morning to Scripture, Samuel is a prophet. He's like a pastor. He's, you know, just a man of God who's going to the king. Who would be the king today? Well, we know Jesus is the king, okay? But who would be the ruler of this world right now? I mean, who's... President, right? President of America, okay? A president of a country, somebody, you know, in China, somebody high up. And so the prophet is going to Saul, who is a king. And God has a word for Saul through the prophet. Amen. Let's read this morning. Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt." Verse 3. "Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." God has given Saul some words from the prophet, and you can tell by the tone here, God is not playing around. You ever have a word from God and you're like, "Yes, sir. Lord, I will do it." Anybody? You know what I mean? You get that word from God, you're like, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to do it right now." So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. So King Saul gets a word from God. He's listening. He's obeying the Lord. We're on a good path. We're on the right track. You ever come to church on Sunday morning, you get a word from the Lord, you get some encouragement, and you walk up out of here and you say, I know what I got to do, and you do it. You say, okay. Maybe you're at work and you're listening to some K-Love, you're listening to some worship music, and God speaks to you. You're reading the word and God speaks to you. Maybe you're talking to somebody, another believer, and God quickens you, and you say, yep, I know what I got to do. Praise God, Saul is obeying the command of the Lord. He's going. Verse 6. "Then Saul said to the Canaanites, 'Go depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt.' So the Canaanites departed from among the Amalekites." Verse 7. "And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt." Again, he's following the commands of God. He's doing what God told him to do. But before we get to verse 8, I want to tell you there's a shift. Something changes. "He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive." "And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good." God gave Saul clear instructions on what he wanted. There was no questions asked. There was no room for discussion. Just like my in your life, God has given you and I and those who are watching this morning instructions. I don't need to go into your journal. You don't need to go into mine. We know that God has given all of us instructions on what he would like us to do in our personal life. God gave Saul clear instructions. I want to read verse 9 again. Can we go back to verse 9? Let's go to verse 9 again. "But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep." The best of the sheep. Did God tell them to spare the best of the sheep? Thank you, sister, for that. "Spared the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good." How many of you know it's easy to get rid of the things that we don't like? It's easy to get rid of those things that is weighing us down, right? You know, those things we know. Hey, God says, "I would like to." Oh, no problem, Lord. here you go. But it's the things that are good that we know God has asked of us to give. It's those things that we find pleasure in that's contrary to what God wants. It's those things that we find pleasure in that God says, that's going against what I want for you. They kept them. And what's scary is it says right here, they were unwilling. That's a scary word. You ever talk to a teenager and they were unwilling to listen? You ever talk to somebody and they are unwilling to change? It says they were unwilling. Not they tried, they're getting there. It says they were unwilling. And the problem is we have at times we are unwilling to obey God. We just don't want to do it. We don't care. We want it so bad that we are unwilling to listen to the words of God. This morning, are you willing or unwilling to destroy what God has asked you of you? Something I asked myself this week, I said, what has God asked me to destroy? Not just destroy, utterly destroy. God, what have you asked of me to do that I haven't done yet? Because I can say to myself, we can say to ourselves, well, it's been a day, it's been a week since I've indulged. It's been a little bit. The Lord understands. He knows. It's been a while since I've done this, but we still got it stored somewhere in the dresser drawer. If we all say amen at once, nobody's gonna know if this is for you. We still got the phone number in the phone. Teenager, we still got the number that your dad told you to get. It's still there. Yeah, we haven't called him in a while, but it's still there. We haven't utterly destroyed. Verse 10. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king. What a scary day that is when God regrets doing something. For he has turned his back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Those who want to be a pastor this morning, get ready to cry out all night. He cried out all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning, he met Saul. It was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel. And indeed, he set up a monument for himself. And he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. He not only did not obey God, now he's building a monument. For himself. Verse 13. Then Samuel went to Saul and said to him, and Saul said to him, this is Saul now the king talking to the prophet, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Stop right there. What blows my mind is when people are disobeying God, but claiming they're obeying God. Lord, help us if we ever get to a point where we think we're obeying the word of God, when we're not. I never want to get to a point in my life where I say, I'm obeying God, but his word says otherwise. Saul is deceived. He's in a state of deception. And what I want to tell you this morning, our world, our generation right now is in a state of deception. Wrong is becoming right, and right is becoming wrong. But Samuel said, verse 14, what then is this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen which I hear? Picture yourself. You got two men. You have a prophet right here. You're in the middle of the desert right now with me, okay? And you got Saul here, maybe wherever they're at. And Saul tells the prophet, I've obeyed. And Samuel says, then, what is this that I hear? You said you killed everything, Saul. Then why am I hearing this moo? Why am I hearing this ah? Why am I hearing this? Why am I seeing this, Saul? You said you killed everything. And I talked to myself and I preached to myself. You said you cut off the relationship. Pastor Carl, you said you were going to stop doing this. You said you cut off the relationship. Why is the phone ringing in the middle of the night? You said you were going to stop using. You said you were going to stop getting drunk, using drugs. What's this smell that I'm smelling that's coming out of the pores of your body? You said, I told you, and you said you did it. You said you weren't going to do it anymore. So where did you get the money? Here's what the prophet's saying. Saul, you're claiming one thing, but the evidence shows otherwise. You claim one thing, but the evidence is showing something completely different. Church, would a close examination of our heart claim that we're doing what God asked of us to do? Or would it show the complete opposite? Because we might, pastors, if you're watching, pastors, leaders, church, we might be able to trick people right now, but we can't trick God. I might be able to trick people right now for some time, but I will never be able to trick God. So what do you do when you've been confronted? What do you do when you find out it's actually, you're wrong, we're wrong, we've made a mistake? We're human, amen? What do you do when you claim to have obeyed, but the evidence shows otherwise? What do you do when you've claimed to obey, but the cigarettes are still in the pocket? What do you do when you have claimed to be a follower of Christ, a Christian, a daughter of Christ, a son of God, and yet you're sleeping with the person you're not married to yet? What do you do when you find out? What do you do? What does Saul do? What does Saul do? So what does he do? Verse 15, you ready to read? Let's go. Verse 15. And Saul said, I'm sorry, I messed up. Is that what he says? Thank you, sister, for that arousing affirmation. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen. The people did. To sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet. Actually, there's a... No. 2020. Shut up. Be quiet. This is not a fairy tale we're reading here. This is true life. This happened. God died on the cross. He's coming back again. We're going to be in heaven, amen, church. This is not a fairy tale. This is not from Disney. This is life. This is truth. And what's so profound right here is a prophet is talking to the king. A prophet is talking to the king and telling him to be quiet. I was talking to somebody recently. They said, is it hard to preach messages that, is it hard to preach certain topics? I said, yes, it is. No pastor wants to, it would be every pastor's dream to be able to come up on a Sunday morning and just speak about the goodness of the Lord. Let's be real, church, right? And there's nothing wrong with that either. I mean, trust me, next week we're going to hear about the goodness of God. Hopefully, we'll see what, we'll see. But they asked me, I said, yes, because as sometimes when pastors preach, sometimes it hits our flesh. Sometimes it hits us in certain places, and we have to, we're confronted. And, you know, sometimes this world would like preachers to tone it down. But I told them, I said, you know, I have a God to answer to who is greater than anyone on this earth. Thank you for that, amen. And because I'm not personally interested in compromising with the burdens that God has put on my heart to make people comfortable in whatever it is that they like to do, whatever I like to do, whatever my family is doing, God's put something on my heart. And Samuel right here says to the king, be quiet. Verse 16, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Saul. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me, verse 17. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes. Were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners and the Amalekites and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? Verse 20, and Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on a mission on which the Lord sent me. And I brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. I need to say something here. People, me, we follow the leader. Children follow their parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts. We have a responsibility. Supervisors on the job site, church leaders. We set the tone. You set the tone in the workplace. God sets the tone. on what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. What we tolerate, what we don't tolerate. And instead of Saul taking full responsibility, you remember King David when he messed up? He said, what did he do? Many stories in the Bible when people made mistakes. Oh. Instead of Saul taking full responsibility for his wrong, he blames it on the people when he started it by taking the king in the first place. This next verse, if you could, highlight and remember this for the rest of your life. Right here, verse 22. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. Are you hearing me, church? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. When I read this, it's so simple. There's no gray area. There's no... God is... It's not the sacrifice that God wants. It's the obedience. When I ask my kids to go clean their room, and if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. Go clean your room. And it's been a couple hours and it's real quiet. You're like, what are they doing? You head up, you know, and you go look. And what have you been doing? Well, this happened, that happened. There's a list of things. Right? I really do have good kids, though, guys, I promise. But, you know, sometimes things happen. What happened here? I thought we told you to clean the room. Well, I did this, I did that. No, that's good and all. You already know to brush your teeth, and this is something you're supposed to do every day, morning and night. That's good, but what did I ask you to do? To obey is better than sacrifice. Well, I came to church today. I didn't have to. I sang on the worship team. Worship team, I love you, okay? I'm not bagging on you. I love the worship team. I sang on the worship team today. That should be good enough. I did some time. I did some things around the church. I gave to a charity. To obey is better than sacrifice. I want to encourage you this morning and challenge you to look at those things in your life, in my life, that God is asking, because we think God should be happy with the sacrifice, right? God, you should be happy. We got, you know, God, we're cool. God, you should be happy with the sacrifice, because we think God should be happy with the sacrifice, right? It's offering time. We throw in the 20, and that's awesome. Praise God. We were going to use the 20 for something else, maybe Dutch Bros, maybe Starbucks, and we said, well, this week I'll just go without coffee. The problem with the 20 is God told you to give the 10%. Now, if the 10% is a dollar, praise God. If the 10% is 10 bucks, praise God. The problem is not the 20. The problem is, what did God tell you to give? What has he asked of us to give? To obey is better than sacrifice. We need to be looking at our life, every part of our life, wanting to obey God. Because I want to obey God with the words that come out of my mouth. And sometimes that can be hard, right? You know, you're doing something around the house. Maybe you're working. You have a hammer. You're hammering away. And bam! You almost slip, right? Or you slip. Hey, we're human. But I want to obey you, Lord, with the words that come out of my mouth. I want to obey you with what my eyes look at when my wife is not around, when my husband's not around, when my girlfriend or boyfriend is not around, when no one is around. I want to obey you with what my eyes see. I want to obey you, God, with where my feet walk. I want to obey you, Lord, on the job site. I want to obey you, Lord, when all my peers would say otherwise. I want to obey you with what my hands touch. Lord, I want to obey you when this world would say otherwise. Lord, I want to obey you with the relationships that I develop. I want to obey you, Lord, because personally, I'd rather go to heaven with one friend than to be going down the wrong path and end up in eternity without God with 100 who took me down that wrong path, who influenced me. Because when it's all said and done, and when you guys have a funeral for me, and I'm right here, I want my life to be in a position where I was in full obedience to God. Not perfect, right? None of us are perfect. Not perfection. But where I know I've turned, there was true repentance, and I was obedient to him. Are any of us perfect? No. But where God sees true repentance, a life changed, or some would say a life changing, we serve a merciful God, amen. You know, I want to go back to my little ones. There's nothing cuter than seeing your daughter. You ask her, she's 4 years old, and you say, "Can you go clean your room, honey?" "Dad, I will do that later." I said, "No, sweetie, we need to do it right now." "Well, Maddie and Kenzie made the mess." I said, "Sweetie, it's time to go clean your room." "Okay." And she goes up there, and you hear things going on, right? And you walk up, and it's the cutest thing in the world when she's there with her hands behind her back, and she says, "Daddy, I cleaned my room." And you can see the innocence in her eyes. And you look at the room, and it's clean. There's still some trash here, and there's still some trash. And when I see that, I don't say, "You said you cleaned your room. Why is all this still here?" I know she tried. I say, "Sweetie, you did an amazing job. Let me help you. Let me help you. And I'll go and get the rest." You know, that's what God does. Because he knows we're not perfect. But when he sees an honest heart and somebody just say, "Hey, I'm trying, Lord." He says, "Hey, let me help you with the rest. You got a little, yeah, We got a lot of little things to work on right here, but hey, let me help you with this. Verse 23, as our sister comes up. Verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Please bow your head with me this morning as we get ready to close. Church, when we don't obey God, when we remain in our rebellion and stubbornness and just say, hey, that's not my thing, that's for somebody else, or that doesn't apply to me, which I've been there, I've said that, I've done that, trust me. Whatever is in your life that God has clearly spoken to you about and you have not obeyed, we embrace rebellion and stubbornness. So it becomes a part of us, and it's a scary place. And my question is, what is God trying to get you to do so he can have the best for you in life? Or have you and I this morning chosen to hold on to those things that we just want to hold on to and keep? What is keeping us from experiencing the fullness of God and his blessing? What is it? I would like to just remain in an attitude of worship right now. And just bow your heads with me and meditate on maybe there are some things in your life, maybe some blind spots. Maybe your partner, your friend, your spouse can maybe share with you. Or maybe you just, as you meditate right now, maybe God can quicken you. Maybe there's something that God is dealing with you on, and he says, hey, I need this. You know, it's time to let it go. And as I sing this song this morning, sing with me in worship and just pray. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. Within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you, and only you, Lord. I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment. this morning with all heads bowed, all eyes closed. This morning you want to give your life to Christ. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. You could be 5 years old, you could be 100, and you want to give your life to Jesus this morning. You want to recommit your life. You just pray, say, Dear Heavenly Father, forgive me for I am a sinner. I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life. May this day be a new day, Lord. I need your grace and your mercy. I do believe you died for me. You died for my sins, and I accept the sacrifice, Lord. Thank you. And I do believe that you rose on the third day. God, change me from the inside out. Mold me, shape me into what you want me to be, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, church, let's all stand. You know what I love about God is when you give God your heart completely and obey him, he gives you something better. Pressed down, shaken together, if you know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? When you give him your heart and you say, God, my life is yours. The spiritual food he gives you is better than anything Dave Ramsey could ever cook for you physically. Or Gordon Ramsay. What's his name? Is it Gordon Ramsay? Dave Ramsay? It's one of the Ramses, one of those guys. Okay? You know what I'm saying, though? As you can tell, I love to eat. When your marriage is on the rocks, he can give you a better one than the side fling could ever give. When your marriage is going through the storm, he can be the anchor that holds you together. When things at work are falling apart, you find out you might be losing your job, and he can give you a peace when the boat is rocking, the storms are raging. He can be outside the boat saying, "Get out the boat. It's time to walk. Let's go." Hey, our God is bigger. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. And you know what I love about Jesus? What I love about Jesus is he was begging the Father, "Father, let this cup pass from me." But what a perfect example of obedience. I don't want to die, Lord. This is God, Father, I don't want to do this. But yet he obeyed and did it anyways. And resurrected. Hallelujah. That's why I love Jesus. When he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Thank you, sister. Thank you. Thank you. Church, we got to dismiss. I apologize for keeping you here a little late, but I do want to say one thing before we end, before we close. We didn't have time, but Saul later tells Samuel, can you at least take me out so I could stand before the people to look good? Can you at least do that for me? So I could pretend everything's okay? So I could pretend everything's good? What a scary place to be when we come to church pretending we're something we're not. God wants an honest heart. I will obey, because to obey is better than sacrifice. Be blessed this morning. Thank you so very much for coming. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Stay.
Pull me through.